You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jay Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff. Coming to you live from our home at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text, or leave a voice note at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. It's Friday, October 31st. It's Halloween. Ooh. Dan Schaefer will be here from the recombobulation area, also Civic Media's political editor after the 9:30 news. Lots of things to talk about, including the latest poll from the Marquette University Law School. Mm-hmm. People in Wisconsin don't want to talk about elections is my big takeaway from the poll from Marquette.
Hey, Jane, sometimes we don't want to talk about elections.
Yeah, but so who are the front runners as we're many months away yet?
Yeah.
From the mayoral elections, governor, gubernatorial elections, all those things.
Governor.
Mayoral. Yeah. So we'll talk about that with Dan. Along with many other things, City of Milwaukee considering cracking down on people with lots of parking tickets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not a bad idea.
Yeah.
Audio sorbet, we're going to do Halloween related.
Again. Here we go. Halloween week.
It's Halloween week.
Oh, baby.
Audio sorbet, yes.
Oh.
Nice. We will talk about great Halloween costumes, best Halloween costume you ever wore.
Yeah.
One you saw that really impressed you. I've seen some amazing displays in my neighborhood.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Our across the street neighbor, I saw them like 2 weeks ago and I'm like, what are they doing? And then at the end of the day, I was like, oh wow, it's a display.
Yeah. There are some folks who put so much work into it. It's amazing. And we're also going to do a little shout out to a song which debuted 50 years ago today with a special homage. A very special homage to
this. Artistic homage.
Yes. It's like the epitome of taste.
Yes.
That will be coming up in Audio Sorbet. And we'll wrap it up, as we always do, with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today, the Smashing Pumpkin edition. Stick around for that. Going to start off with SNAP benefits. We'll be coming to an end tomorrow. It's interesting, depending upon where you get your news, you're hearing vastly different explanations about why we are here.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's important to point out that in the big blob of a bill that the Republicans passed earlier this year.
Yes.
The big blob of a bill cut $187 billion from SNAP through 2034. I think that's an important point.
Yeah.
Which, again, depending upon where you get your news, you might not be hearing these numbers. But yes, the Republicans cut $187 billion, or about 20%, from the federal SNAP budget through 2034. And then this little tidbit that I found this morning from Newsmax, Rob Schmidt, anchor at Newsmax, talking to Senator Ron Johnson.
Oh.
Wisconsin's very own.
Our senator who's been there longer.
He's been there long. Yes. Yeah. Rob Schmidt said to Ron Johnson this morning, or rather on Newsmax, people are using SNAP benefits to get their nails done, to get their weaves and their hair done.
Yeah.
This is a really ugly program. Senior Senator Ron Johnson says that program needs to be dramatically reformed. Ron Johnson could have said, that's not true. You can't use your SNAP benefits to get your nails done or your weave. Nice little throw in of the racism or your weave done. That's not how SNAP works.
The dog whistles that have been thrown out from various Republican, GOP, right-leaning, way right-leaning pundits, politicians, whomever, has been brazen.
Yeah.
I mean, a dog whistle, I guess, isn't brazen because
it's supposed to be passive-aggressive. Yeah.
But they're just whipping them out like it's nobody's business. I've heard them refer to ghettos. I've heard the weave, the crack, smoking crack comments. Like, just say it. Tell us who you think uses SNAP and apparently only uses SNAP, which is, of course, untrue, as we've talked to farmers who use SNAP benefits.
And the ACA.
And the ACA. So yes. this notion, this narrative you want to write that the laziest, worst dregs of society are the only ones using these benefits. And now we know who you think those people are. Congratulations. And Ron Johnson, good job on not calling him out on the dog whistling or the fact that you cannot use SNAP to get your nails done. I mean, help me take you just a little seriously, Mr. Johnson. No. Just a little bit.
No. He's got to go along with their program.
Yeah.
And trying to frame a narrative around SNAP users.
Mm-hmm.
Again, on Newsmax.
It's 21st century welfare queen.
Yeah,
That's exactly what it is.
On Newsmax, anchor Rob Schmidt talking to Ron Johnson said people are using SNAP to get their nails done, to get their weaves and their hair done. And our Rojo says, yes, that program needs to be dramatically reformed.
And that also upsets me, too. There's nothing there. There's no plan. There's no suggestions. There's no speculation. It's like, yeah.
Yes.
We should look at that.
So let's cut a whole bunch of money. Yeah. Oh, they did that already.
Well, Jane, what they're doing is they're saving it. They're securing it.
By cutting
ensuring
it. Right.
Those are the words we use.
Right. Then I stumbled on this morning. This is from notice.org. The U.S. Department of Agriculture had a plan to keep SNAP going during a government shutdown by using contingency funds. But amazingly, the document that laid out that plan is now gone from the U.S. Department of Agriculture website.
Shocking.
This administration is doing this a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Just removing things.
Disappearing.
Disappearing information.
Yeah.
Completely, in some cases, attempting to alter history.
Yeah.
By disappearing things.
Well, luckily, a silver lining, in as much as the money, the discretionary funds that are set aside to fund SNAP actually still do exist. They're just not going to be used. Whether or not the document's available, I mean, that's important to have in your possession.
Well, it's just to say we have a plan.
Yeah,
there is a plan.
Yeah, but the money will most likely not be released, and then the question has been pointed towards, at least in matters of Wisconsin and our food share program. The question is, okay, state legislators, governor, whomever. What are you going to do to ensure that these individuals will get their benefits? And depending on who you listen to, once again, depending on where you get your news,
yes,
there are some folks who want to lay all the blame at Tony Evers' doorstep because he's not utilizing COVID funding that's out there. There is approximately $373 million remain unspent, but not for long because the state legislative fiscal bureau told CBS 58 that the money is obligated, which could include funding for activities that have been completed or are just waiting for reimbursement. So that money might be earmarked for other things, that we don't just have $373 million just sitting like we do a surplus.
Right.
But
when we got that COVID money, there are constrictions.
There are parameters.
There are parameters on where and how this money can be used.
But also, just because we have $373 million doesn't mean it can be even used for anything. It can be scheduled for something right now anyway. So you can look at that money. That's fine. But that just, we can't just go to that bank and withdraw it. And then surplus, $4.5 billion.
Yep.
We could definitely pull, I think it's the $114, $117 million needed to fund food share here in Wisconsin. Well, Mary Felskowski, state senator and state senate president, has said,
Can't,
not our problem.
Yeah, can't do that. It's a Fed thing.
It's a federal problem.
It's a Fed thing.
So the frustration, my point is that, like, if you want to be angry at Tony Evers for not using COVID funding, then you have to be angry at Mary Felskowski for not wanting to use surplus funding. I'm frustrated. Like, the COVID funding, I feel like there's far more nuance to that discussion as far as utilizing those funds than just saying, take it. But the surplus, once again, sitting there right in front of us, not being used to fund a great deal of things. But this is one I feel like, talk about a a situation which needs emergency funding, and we have way more than we need to fund this. There's nothing wrong with that. And shame on you, Mary Falskowski, to say that this is and Democrat. It's a federal problem, and it's the Democrats' fault. That was what she said to Matt Smith on Upfront. It's a federal problem, and it's the Democrats' fault.
If you're just joining us on Matt and Air on Air, we are talking about SNAP benefits, which are going to be going away tomorrow. And as a reminder, the big blob of a bill that Republicans passed earlier this year, which was going to fix all our problems, cut $187 billion, 20% from the SNAP budget through 2034. Lots of money. Yeah. Lots of money. A column from Paul Krugman says these drastic cuts in food stamps and health care programs are central planks in Project 2025. Yes, they are. That is indeed the Trump administration's policy platform. These planks were written into the one big blob of a bill that they passed last summer. Mm-hmm. This is part of the plan.
Yes. And it's part of a plan that we have been talking about for over a year now. And I don't want to get into the place of pointing fingers or I told you so. That solves nothing. Solves absolutely nothing. But we were given it. We were given their playbook. This is like when the opposing team finds the playbook. We were given the playbook, and it for some reason did not move the needle for some people, and it was denied by others. And the president lied about it.
Yeah.
And here we are a year later, and they have enacted, and depending on who you talk to, some will say 30, some will say 70, but a good chunk of what was proposed in that 900 page plus book has been and is going to be implemented. And most of it through the budget.
Yeah, absolutely. Roger on the live stream says, ask Ron Johnson how many people have been arrested and prosecuted for having their nails or their weaves done using SNAP. That's the thing, Roger. They don't ever have to back it up.
No.
With, like, proof.
No.
All they need to say, like Mike Johnson has said repeatedly, is he knows it inherently.
Yeah.
He just knows it within the fiber of his being. Like they know about voter fraud. There's no evidence of widespread voter fraud, particularly related to the 2020 election. No evidence. None. Zippo. Zero. We spent millions looking for it. Didn't find it. And yet Mike Johnson still knows intuitively, inherently, in his gut, that it's happening.
I mean, Jane, some people are saying, I've heard.
Many people are saying
people are reporting. That's all individuals need now to just, and this is a problem across the board. Our confirmation biases are quelled by faces we trust saying very little or backing up very little. But the problem is when you give them any details, they'll tell you you're lying. It's AI. It's fake news. Even though I have the details and this guy just says, I think you can do your nails with SNAP.
Yeah, no, you can't. Join the conversation at 855-752-4842. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Box, Sweet Galby on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up after the 9:30 news, we'll start recombobulating with Dan Schaefer, creator of the multi-award-winning Recombobulation Area, also Civic Media's political editor. Among the many things we're going to kick around, the latest results from the Marquette University Law School poll.
Mm-hmm.
My big takeaway is nobody wants to think about elections right now. That's kind of what it is.
And also, Dan published a piece in the Recombobulation Area about Mandela Barnes and the election as well, because that's sort
he
of
came
just
came out really well on that poll.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll be talking about that when Dan gets here in just a little bit, but that's going to be another discussion. And yep, we are officially in election season again. My God, can't we get a day off?
No, Wisconsin is constantly We're constantly in that cycle. Before we went to the break, we were talking about SNAP benefits, which are going to be ending tomorrow. U.S. Department of Agriculture did have a plan to keep SNAP running during a government shutdown by using contingency funds. The whole document that was up on their website, whoosh, now it's gone.
Magic.
Interesting how that happens.
I mean, that's right up their alley. That's something they've been doing with a lot of things. Documents, changing the Constitution, changing Smithsonian display. Like, it's whatever doesn't fit them, they get rid of. But the problem is, Jane, is that we are not robots who are reprogrammed every morning with no memory. When they get rid of things, not only do people notice, that is what makes the news then.
Yes. When you try to disappear stuff and make it go away.
Exactly.
Yeah, there are people who still recall.
Yes.
So amazing. The other problem, tomorrow, enrollment begins for the Affordable Care Act.
Yes.
Also known as Obamacare.
Ooh, Obamacare!
They're the same thing in case people think they aren't.
No, Jane, that's not what I was told.
Yeah, the Affordable Care Act and Obamacare are one and the same.
Yeah.
This article from Politico, Republicans barreling toward the enrollment period without a unified plan to address the sticker shock that millions of Americans are expected to face when they get their premiums.
Hold on, I'm referring to my notes right now. What happened to 2 weeks?
A great new plan in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Repeal and replace.
I was told repeal, replace, .. 2 weeks, .. winning.
Concepts of a plan.
Concepts of a plan.
Yeah. They don't have a plan.
No, they don't.
They've had 15 years since the Affordable Care Act was passed.
My goodness gravy.
And they got up to the repeal part. They were all ready to repeal Obamacare. Remember that?
Well, I do remember the House... during Obama's time, like, I think over 120 times voted to repeal Obamacare, died in the Senate every single time. It was nothing more than a show. It was performative. It did nothing.
Did nothing.
And yet we have nothing to replace it with.
Well, and exactly. So again, we were on they were ready to repeal it, except for the vote of John McCain, who stopped that. They were going to repeal it. They didn't have a plan then.
No.
And they still don't have a health care plan. I saw one Republican, it might have been John Kennedy, very folksy guy.
Yeah.
He thinks we should just go back to what things were like beforehand with high risk pools, meaning that we can go back to the days when insurance companies could refuse to cover you because you had a pre-existing condition. I don't know, like pregnancy.
Let's, you know, that doesn't surprise. It always seems that the best solution they have is... going back to the old days. And really, when it comes down to it, it's never a thing of, there's no buy-in for them. There's no expectation for them because, one, they have some of the most amazing healthcare in the world.
Oh, you mean our elected officials?
Our elected officials.
Congress says,
And even if they didn't, they still have enough money where a hospital / doctor bill wouldn't ruin and or bankrupt them. So for them to say, let's just go back to the old days. What was wrong with that?
Yeah, everything was so great.
Yeah.
It was so great.
Yeah, I'm wanting to look up really quick Senator John Kennedy as far as how much money he's taken from the healthcare industry, because that's the other thing too. The moment they start advocating for a system which doesn't put the American people first, it's always like, how much money is that industry putting into your pocket then?
Well, and then all of a sudden, I've heard Republicans in the last couple of weeks as we've been heading towards this cliff talking about, well, we don't want insurance companies to get rich. You don't?
I mean...
really?
They're pretty darn good at getting rich. They're getting rich all the time. Their quarters are like tens of billions of dollars. Like,
they're doing fine.
Even if they made no money next year, they'd probably still be fine. Yeah.
Lori from Hayward texting in says, Jane, I think people are taking the page out of J.D. Vance's Book of Lies. Remember, he admitted on live TV he was lying, talking about Haitian Americans eating people's pets. He admitted that was a lie. J.D. Vance admitted he was telling a lie just to make people listen. That's what Ron Johnson and many other Republicans are doing now. Yes, they are blatantly lying.
And he is bringing that back up again. He has brought the Haitian thing back up in interviews. And yeah, look at that. Ochsner Health Systems has given him $41,145.
Oh, John Kennedy?
Yeah, John Kennedy. So he's got a little bit of buy-in with them. So it's advantageous for him to plump for the business. Yeah. Oh, and LHC, it's a hospice home care group, has given him $50,000.
Oh, in these days of bribes, that's almost a pittance.
Drop in a bucket.
We have news coming up next, and then when we return, Dan Schaefer will be here for all things recombobulation. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Mach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Good morning, live stream. Thank you for joining us. It's Friday, so Dan Schaefer is here, Civic Media's political editor and the creator of the Recombobulation Area. Good morning.
Good morning, Jane. Wonderful to be here with you on Matt Nair on Air.
On Halloween, we'll do some lighter things about an hour from now during Audio Sorbet. We'll talk all things Halloween.
Wonderful.
I'm curious to hear about your experience with your daughters.
Okay.
And I saw some photos that you posted.
Oh, so we had some good stuff from last
good
weekend.
Stuff, yes. Yeah. But lots going on. Let's talk. Where do you want to start? Do you want to start with Mandela Barnes, or should we talk about the poll?
Well, there's much to discuss
much
this
to
week.
Kick around.
Lots to recombobulate.
There's
on.
Many things.
As always, a discombobulating week in Wisconsin.
No doubt.
Let's start with Mandela Barnes. Let's start with the candidate looming over the Democratic primary right now, his pending decision on what he is going to do, if he is going to run for governor in 2026, if he is going to pass on this one. All signs right now seem to point to Barnes running again. So I decided that needed to take a little deep dive in a Recombobulation Area piece published this morning called Barnes 22 Revisited. So as Barnes flirts with a potential statewide run, I think it warrants reassessing the campaign that he ran in 2022 when he lost by just 1%.
Yeah,
it was 27,000 votes.
It was tight
to Ron Johnson, and kind of my big thesis, I suppose, with this, if anything, is that I think Mandela Barnes' campaign was both underrated and overrated at the same time.
Oh.
Underrated for many of the reasons that he has been unfairly maligned for when people talk about this race, because there's a lot of data that suggests he did not run a uniquely poor campaign.
Right.
It's just Wisconsin and he lost a coin flip, you know. And we can get into some of the details within that too. But I think also if you look back to some of the decisions made in that campaign, some of the ads that they ran, some of the way the messaging was, some of the approach that the overall campaign took with this too safe, risk averse, we don't really want to say anything bold or buzzy or whatever.
Right.
I think there were problems with that too. So that's what the column really gets into. Just published this morning at the Recombobulation Area. This one does have a paywall about halfway through, so you do have to subscribe to read this one.
It's so worth it, and it's really a deal. Yeah. It really is.
It is a deal.
Yes,
and you can get a free
deal.
Trial if you just want to read this
there
one.
There you go.
There you go.
I just lost myself some money there. But
so what? In what ways was he underappreciated in the way that he ran his campaign?
Yeah, so I think, you know, there's a lot of data that suggests, you know, I mean, in Wisconsin, it's always going to be, any statewide race is going to be in that toss-up category.
Right.
Neither party has the, like, inherent advantage
lock.
Like you would see in many other states. And so then I think because, you know, it was a Republican advantage midterm. People forget this because Democrats did better than expected.
Right.
But like when your leader is in the White House, when you control the White House, the out party tends to do better in the midterms. This is what history has shown us over and over again. Democrats did well 2006 and 2018 in those regards. Republicans did extremely well in 2010.
Yeah.
Also 2014. But in 2022, I think, you know, part of it was because of the Dobbs decision that energized a lot of Democratic voters at the time. But also just like there was not a lot of great candidates and Democrats won a lot of these Senate races but, you know, lost in Wisconsin. And I think that is, you know, obviously what it comes back to with Barnes with when people are having a little bit of this consternation about him running again because he lost. Right.
Right.
But I think, you know, he was the closest Senate race in 100 years. He was running against an extremely well-funded two-term incumbent. I think as much as we dislike Ron Johnson as a senator, mm-hmm. he is not a good senator. He's good at winning elections.
Yeah, he sure is.
He has kind of been the Republican who has really bridged the last, you know, era of Republican politics from kind of the Tea Party wave that he came in on in 2010 from, you know, just being like business guy, Tea Party Republican to the conspiracy theory, lunatic, MAGA guy.
He is today.
That he is today.
Yeah.
But I think that has been where the party has shifted over the past 15 years, and he has encapsulated that shift in a lot of ways. So he ran ahead of Donald Trump in 2016 in Wisconsin when he beat Russ Feingold for a second time. You know, he won this. So I think people might look at Ron Johnson, see, hey, he's the kooky uncle who's on Fox News saying all this crazy stuff. He's been good at winning elections.
Well, and he's really good. Again, I give Republicans a lot of credit for their marketing.
Sure.
Because mm-hmm. I saw this the other day on social media. What has Tammy Baldwin ever done for Wisconsin? And I think of all of the federal dollars Tammy Baldwin has brought back to our state for farmers and construction workers and bringing jobs and all of those things. And I just think Democrats have a hard time going, look what I did.
And
look at the thing.
There is an inherent problem there because, first of all, I want to go back to something you just said. Let us not forget that Ron Johnson beat Russ Feingold.
Yeah.
Twice.
Yeah.
The fact that he won once, we thought, oh, fluke. Russ Feingold will come back in and he lost again. Russ Feingold, for those who don't know, don't remember, Democratic senator, titan in this state. I mean, known for his policies, known for his rhetoric, known to put the money where the mouth is, all those things, the fact that Ron Johnson, but also Ron Johnson in the first election came in as a measured businessman. And by his second reelect, he was now just...
Well, that everything changed.
Ruined conspiracy theorists.
He went to Moscow for the 4th of July.
But the thing is what you're saying, Jane, I think is very, very important. And I think that Democrats really need to figure it out someday is that when they achieve something and they want to do something policy wise, they think the best way of doing that is getting in front of you and talking about it for what seems like a decade. They love to explain. They're never happier than when they're trying to teach you something. Whereas Ron Johnson, and this was told to me by a friend of mine who is a consultant in D.C., Ron Johnson just simply said, do you like candy? I love candy. I'll give you candy.
Yeah.
Vote for me, candy. And people were like, I like candy. So it's about taking all of those wins from Tammy Baldwin. And same problem with Tony Evers, too. Not enough standing on the podium, doing victory laps, because it's hard to put these kind of non-sexy, boring things into context and make it look good and feel good and make you go, oh, awesome. That's the problem that Democrats face.
But it blows my mind that we can have someone like Tom Tiffany who voted against the Infrastructure mm-hmm. Act, but then mm-hmm. he'll go and stand in front of the Blotnick Bridge mm-hmm. and say, look what I did for Wisconsin when he mm-hmm. actively voted against the measure that is bringing the improvements to the Blotnick Bridge. That makes me crazy.
Is that for Tammy Baldwin to stand up and go, hey, you can't be here? You know, like, she'll never do that. She will never do that.
Of course
not. Democrats
would
probably be like, you can't do that. But Dan, tell me your thoughts on that.
Well, as one Democrat put it to me once, if you take three sentences to explain something, you've already lost.
Yeah, you're losing.
And that is such a common problem with Democratic politics because you have to like, oh, well, these subsidies go to take down your healthcare costs and da da da. If you're explaining, you're losing. So that is often the case. So I think just to get back to the Barnes thing here, too, is that Johnson was a pretty good candidate, as much as we don't like him as a senator.
Right.
And I think, but he also had certain like Wisconsin specific, Johnson specific failings and idiosyncrasies and all sorts of, you know, weirdness that they could have gone after. And I think the campaign that Barnes ran that was this very like, on defense, safe, measured, backpedaling, hey, they're telling lies about me,
right?
Type of campaign, whereas it wasn't a campaign against Ron Johnson, the uniquely problematic senator. It was a campaign against generic Republican senator.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that didn't work. And I think you have to have like a specific campaign in Wisconsin. You can't just run things here the way they are, you know, consultantified and carbon copied across the rest of the country. It has to be.
You got to narrow your focus.
You have to understand the state. Yeah. And I don't think that their campaign entirely did.
If you're just joining us, Dan Schaefer is here, Civic Media's political editor, the creator of the Recombobulation Area. He joins us every Friday. You can join us as well at 855-752-4842. Cindy from Appleton has been waiting patiently. Good morning, Cindy. What did you want to say?
Well, first of all, Senator Johnson has done absolutely nothing for the state of Wisconsin, and I just don't realize why people can't figure that out. But as far as Mandela Barnes goes, no offense to anybody, but as a lieutenant governor, they really don't do anything. And I just don't believe he has the political experience to run for the governor.
Fair enough. And thank you, Cindy.
And that's something, too, that I think I've discussed with the both of you, either on air or off air, is that, you know, he ran in 22. If an office was something he was seeking, you would think he'd be there more in the line sight of interviews to talk about politics. He's doing great advocacy and community service work. I'm not taking that away from him.
Yes.
But if you want to seek that office, then you have to put yourself in the right place. And what it seems like to me is that, I don't know if you've heard differently, Dan, but it seems like we're now talking about this because of a poll from a couple weeks ago that had him at 16%. No one had him in the conversation, really. And now all of a sudden, because of that, we're talking about it. And to me, that's not why you seek office. It's not because people think you're cool. It's because you want to do something. And I didn't get that from Mandela Barnes after he lost in 22. He went and did his other stuff, but I didn't feel like he was going to run again.
This is why I think if he does run again, it has to be a different campaign.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I think you can't run it back and do it the same way as he did last time. Not just because he lost. And again, I think he overcame a lot of obstacles. He faced a lot of ridiculous, over-the-top racist ads throughout that campaign.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He was running to make history as Wisconsin's first black senator. Like, that, there's a lot that there was an uphill battle in a lot of ways. He was the underdog going against a well-funded two-term incumbent who had the Hendricks and Uline pack throwing tens of millions of dollars that there was no equivalent to on his side.
Right.
There was a lot of things working against him. But I think also he could have won if he ran a slightly better campaign. He left a win on the board there, and I think that is what so many people are frustrated. So I still think he has a promising future in politics in Wisconsin. But if he's going to do this political comeback, which frankly hasn't worked for a lot of people in Wisconsin lately.
No, it hasn't.
It has to be different. It cannot be the same type of campaign. It has to be a different type of message. And so I think that's what he and his team have to be thinking about right now. If they are planning an announcement, if they are planning to run here, how is this going to be different? And how can we let people know right out of the gate, this is a different thing. We have learned from our mistakes last time. We are doing things differently. Let's go. You know, I think it has to be so different.
We're going to continue with Dan Schaefer. If you would like to join us, give us a call or send in a text or leave a voice note at 855-752-4842. Gene, I see you there. We will take you when we come back. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Sweet Calby on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call, text, leave a voice note at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream. Good morning, live stream.
Hello.
On Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter, Dan Schaefer is here to help us recombobulate Civic Media's political editor. Also, just a reminder to subscribe to our completely free and pretty darn fabulous Civic Media Today.
Civic Media Today, a snapshot of everything going on in the network, whether it's podcasts, shows, fun stories by Dan Schaefer.
Yes.
Right here. It's all available at Civic Media Today. Go to civicmediatoday.substack.com and subscribe for free and tell a friend.
Look at, boy, That was good.
Thank you very much.
Really
you
good.
Listening, WBA?
Huh? We're going to clip that and submit, because I'm very involved with Civic Media Today. I edit Civic Media Today. I'm going to use that as our main promo there, Greg.
Yes, that's our ad right there.
My quasi threat to another organization.
But seriously, it's a great snapshot of what is going on across all of the shows. Mm-hmm. Even, you know, Earl Ingram and the podcast and all of those things.
And our news, like our headlines news. From around the state from all of our news team.
Yeah.
And then Sholly Pittman, our news director, puts together this, you know, just kind of like, here's what's going on around the state, what we're watching today. It's a great way to find a lot of Wisconsin news, connect to all of our shows.
Yep. Civic Media.
Today.
Today.
Dot.
Substack.com.
There it is.
That's what you want to do. We'll put that in the show notes. Right before the break, we were talking about the Wisconsin races and the race for governor, Governor Evers, Tony Evers, not running again. And so we were talking about Mandela Barnes. Gene from Eau Claire has been waiting very patiently. Good morning, Gene. What do you want to say about this?
Hi, great topic. I just want to say, first I want to clarify something because they always do this to people in a nonchalant way, this type of thing, that Tammy Baldwin never did anything for us. I've never seen anybody work as hard as her except for Russ Feingold. And I watch Russ Feingold. Believe me, I've been watching this stuff for years and the lies and the deceptions. These people are masters of deceptions and they got a lot of bucks put in to help them keep control of our country and our state. And it started in our state and moved up to the federal government. We got to move those people out that are associated with what happened with Scotty Walker, and now they're doing it in their federal government. Ron Johnson is a master of deception and lies. And one of the things that I've seen him do, which I really do believe helps to support that once people run, they don't get another chance, because they use the dirtiest techniques that I have ever seen in my life, like putting Mandela Barnes at that parade when the guy went through with the cars and parade, and then they put pictures of Mandela by, you know, that what happened there, like he was involved.
Right.
It was sick, and I couldn't get that out of my head. They use a lot of really rotten things to get you to see something horrifying and put the person with it. And people got to realize the people that are doing the horrifying things are the ones setting it up, Ron Johnson, who don't give nothing about the people in the state of Wisconsin. That's my personal opinion, folks. That's my opinion. So thank you very much. And in fact, he was up there the other day, and I just about choked. He was up there saying how he was on a list, an enemies list by Biden, and, you know, because he was looked into. I couldn't believe it. I thought, holy Moses, isn't anybody seeing this? He was saying that he was on an enemies list, and they were checking his January 6th phone calls.
Thank you, Gene. Appreciate it. Yeah, Ron Johnson is all over any cable channel he can get on, talking about the fact that, yes, this is all about the January 6th attack on the Capitol and who was getting contacted and who was getting called. And we know Donald Trump was calling lawmakers when this was going on. So that's what that is related to. But yes,
they're trying to overturn the election. Seems like something to investigate.
It does,
I don't know.
It does seem worthy of investigation.
Yeah, trying to end democracy in America. Kind of a big deal.
Yeah. But going back to Mandela Barnes, yes, they used some racist tropes.
They certainly did.
In running against him.
They certainly did. Yes. They I believe there was a mailer where they darkened his skin color. They put his name next to, you know, a crime scene in one of these ads, I think that Gene was alluding to there. You know, a bunch of Milwaukee legislators came out talking about how racist these ads were in real time. Angela Lang wrote a piece at the Recombobulation Area in real time talking about how this was. And so I think, you know, he faced obstacles a lot of other candidates wouldn't because of that.
Yeah.
So I think you have to consider that piece of it, consider the you know, factoring that into the larger calculus of things. He was running against, you know, running against an incumbent to make history. Like, there was a lot of difficult things there. And I think there was a comment on our live stream about, you know,
I'm going to bring this up right
Barnes
now.
Too.
Ms. RDT says Barnes got 48,223 fewer votes than Evers and lost to Johnson by 26,255 because Barnes couldn't get the necessary Democratic votes. We need another candidate. Thank you for that comment, Ms. Artie.
Yeah. So I do want to address a piece of that, too. So John Johnson of Marquette University, very smart guy, does a lot of really in-depth research. He wrote a piece after the 2022 election talking about Barnes' campaign and the fact that, you know, why is it that Wisconsin elected Tony Evers by 3.5% and Barnes lost by 1%? And really what he calculated in this was the force of incumbency, and which he calculated to be about a 2% net effect. Yeah. So 2% advantage for Tony Evers, 2% disadvantage for Mandela Barnes.
Wow, yeah.
And that explains that kind of four-ish percent discrepancy that 40-some thousand votes that the folks on the live stream identified as that being different. And now incumbency was a really big factor across the board in Wisconsin that year. There were not a single incumbent lost in November 22. Out of the 90 running in the state legislature and statewide and whereas. So incumbents just did not lose that year at all. And so we have to incorporate that into understanding it. Yeah.
We have news coming up next. We will continue recombobulating with Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the vast statewide, countrywide. You can pick us up around the world on the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go away.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.